Good day, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Wessex Safety Hour conference call hosted by Pretty and Tracy. My name is Keith, and I'm your event manager. During the presentation, your lines will remain on listen only. If you require assistance at any time, please key star zero on your telephone and an operator will help you. I'd like to advise all parties this conference is being recorded. Now I'd like to hand over to Pretty. Please go ahead.
Thanks, Keith. Good afternoon, everyone, and hope you're all well. Over the next hour or so for Safety Hour, what I'd like us to do is split the session into three. And Tracy's going to help me as we run through this week's Safety Hour material. For the first session, Tracy will give us an update on how we're doing in terms of workforce safety, how we're getting on this period, particularly with the change of weather in our teams being hurt and how we're getting on with close calls. And she's going to talk through some of the key trends. There'll be a chance then to do a Q&A session following that slot. Next, I'd like us to talk about a couple of campaigns and a couple of projects that we're running through, one of which is specifically within the route initially, and that's going to be extended out, and then the other, which is a national campaign. So I just want to spend some time talking through those. And then the third slot, what I'd really like to do is just have an opportunity to have an open forum and talk about how Safety Hour is working for you and your teams, and what's working well, what isn't working so well, and if anybody has any good ideas or good ways of communicating Safety Hour with your teams, and please share those. And what we don't tend to do enough of is sharing good practices across the route. So a real opportunity to talk through whether you've done something that works really well with your team. So that's going to be the third session. So you'll have a few minutes to get your thinking caps on before we go into that third session. So really try to make it a two-way a discussion rather than having to listen to Tracy and I. So that'll be the third slot. So we'll go through the first session now with Tracy. So Trace, can you please talk through safety performance over the last 4 weeks?
Good morning, Wessex. I always want to scream good morning, Vietnam. Over the last period, or to date in period 9, we've got quite a reasonable safety performance. So, on the records I've got for the number of accidents, I've got, up until the end of last week, 3, one of which was a lost time. And the lost time one was in relation to a Network Rail vehicle involved in an accident. Resulting in damage to the driver's ankle, and he's off for at least a week with that injury. The other two, one was in relation to somebody doing manual handling, lifting a 25 kilo bag of ballast out of a 1-ton bag, and this was a chap from Weatherworks Delivery out of Signal Works. The common I need to make, I think, about whether it's slip, strips and falls or manual handling in this weather, because it's cold and because your body cools down when not in use, there is a higher level of pulling muscles and associated with moving around in the cold, stopping, doing something else. So you kind of have to think about it and get kitted up with a whole load of thermal stuff, even if you have to take it off later, in order to keep the body warm and minimise damage of pulling muscles and ligaments and things. And the last one was actually two subcontractors. This one was a bit of an own goal. They were struck by debris from a speedboard, which had been left in the 6-foot and was struck by a train. And the result of that were two minor injuries, but flying debris with a bit of momentum behind it is quite dangerous. So we were fairly fortunate that they were minor injuries. And the other accident, which is of interest over the last weekend, is a guy down in Salisbury tightening a fish plate. Conditions underfoot were icy and he slipped. As he fell backwards, a colleague caught him, but he jarred his neck awkwardly, leaving it stiff and sore. Now, although it's not on the blog, because it will go into next week's stats, looking at the time and the weather and the temperature that prevailed at the time of the accident, I do wonder whether that was also about cold weather and wrapping up warmly as well. In terms of what is on the blog over and above that, we've got emergency special working irregularity, signal a major urgent call to a train after it passed a signal at danger by approximately half a mile. The driver advised the signaller that the Basingstoke Dorset Coast signaller had given them authority to pass Bravo Charlie 178 as dangerous part of the emergency special working arrangement. And the Basingstoke signaller picked this up because he should not have accepted authority from the signaller down on the Dorset Coast in order to do that. So, overall, Period 9 had a lot of accidents last year. And you can see why when you look outside today, to be honest. So we are not doing too badly at all. So all credit to our workforce. What was nice to see is the golden hour had been implemented, so we had looked after our people after they had been injured. So that's a bit of a result. Not to say we didn't do it before the golden hour. So that's the safety update in terms of accidents and incidents. The next thing we need to talk about really is close calls. Close calls on the corporate scorecard, we cannot avoid it. So the system is not as good as it could be. I don't deny that, and we are trying to do something about that. But it's owned by the RSSB and not Network Rail, which makes it problematic. So, in terms of close calls, where are we overall? Well, we are down on the target we had set ourselves at the early part of the year by about 150. Now, if you look at the data carefully, there is a prevalence to assume that the guys in the DUs and the guys in works delivery should be reporting close calls, and sometimes the operations teams as well. But in order for us to do this properly and get into the safety groove, I kind of need to promote it across the office-based roles as well. I've decided to become politically correct and call it office-based roles, not shiny bottoms, my New Year's resolution. So, although we are down on target by 125, and I agree that a close call is something that was a risk that should be reported or a hazard that should be reported and then subsequently dealt with, what I'm trying to promote is people outside of our workforce also think about reporting close calls as well. Now, the new route director has picked up on the fact that our infrastructure isn't as tidy as it could be. And Ivan's ordered 300 Womble bags to be issued to the workforce to pick up the rubbish on the infrastructure. It doesn't stop there. I reported myself the other week for running across an office, and Mr. Loughman shouted at me, and I shouldn't have been running across an office. It was a bloody stupid thing to do. So again, I need to promote a bit of review on what you think close calls are and who should be reporting them, because I kind of want to break down this us and them barrier. So we need to be a bit more astute on picking up on close calls, and then astute at closing them down as well. Because, again, on the corporate scorecard, we've got a target of 80% close down within 90 days. So if you can spot it, report it, and close it down, then it's not too tricky. I've done it on the system myself. I was sat yesterday with the executive, and it's really, really rare for me, and they were talking about adopting a signal box, and they are going to adopt signal boxes, so they build up a relationship with the signalers and the ECO. And I pondered on this for a while, and I think I'm going to throw out a challenge, which is all my office-based role people need to adopt a section manager. Obviously, some of you don't know who they are, so my challenge is, if your role is primarily at HQ or primarily in an office, can you give some thought to adopting a section manager and a section? Because it breaks down the barriers of us and them, and it will be a really groovy thing to do, and you will find out stuff you didn't know about our workforce after a period of time. So, that's all I wanted to say really, which is review of safety stuff, promotion of close calls. We're doing really well at the moment. Golden Hour appears to be working, and adopt a section manager. So any questions on that so far?
Ladies and gentlemen, your question and answer session will now begin. If you'd like to ask a question, please key star, then one on your telephone. Record your name, then press the hash key. If you decide to withdraw your question, key star two. All questions will be answered in the order received, and you'll be advised when to ask your question. All other lines will remain on listen only. Just to remind you, to ask a question, key star one, record your name, and press a hash key.
Come on, people, I get lonely.
We have a question. It's from the line of
Ivan.
Please go ahead.
Oh, Mr. Kimball, how are you?
I'm very well, thank you. Tracy, I was just going to add weight to the Womble bags, as you call them, are coming at a place near you soon. So they're on order and will be delivered. The Womble bags are like the big orange paperboy bags, so that people, when they're out and about on the track, can pick up the odd pandrel clip or screw or old cutting disc or whatever that's been left on the track and is scrap, minor scrap that could be picked up, put in the bag, and then taken back to the depot in the van or whatever, and can be put in the skip, whether it's recycled skip or general skip. Now the purpose of that is just so that we can clear those. Obviously, can't take 1 ton of clips back with you or whatever, but it's to take away those bits of scrap that if you walk on them, put your foot on it and you twist your ankle or whatever. So it makes sense. We've been concentrating on clearing the big stuff, the big rails, the 709 foots, etc. This is about clearing the small stuff to keep that trip-free railway. And it gives a mechanism to do that. So we're also going to brief out where all the skips are, going to distribute the Womble bags and do a bit of a comms thing on reporting it. So if you've picked up a number of clips and chuck them in a skip, want you to fill out a close call on the app or phone it in or whatever, but do the close call so that and close it at the same time so you've got recognition for the bit that you've done. And we know that that's been removed. That possible thing that you could have tripped on or twisted your ankle on has been removed. So that would be great. So watch out for that. That's coming at a place near you.
So that was more promotion than question then, Ivan.
It was. You made the comment about the Womble bags, and I just wanted to add a bit of meat to it.
what do you think to adopt a section manager for office-based roles so they understand what the guys do?
I think that's great if you do it in a supportive role of what they can, what people can do to help with these busy guys and girls. They need to know what they can do to help and support, I think.
Yeah. Well, that was the intention. Perhaps I didn't explain it properly. But I think it would be helpful, and I think the workforce would appreciate some understanding of what they do for us.
And to interject there, all of this is linked. So all of this contributes to reducing harm to our teams. So when we see an accident, that is effectively at the end of the process. All of our processes and checks and balances up to that point when somebody's harmed has failed. So like the Swiss cheese effect. So by having a tidy railway, by raising close calls, but more importantly, closing them, what we're doing is we're closing some of the holes in the Swiss cheese. Most of the close calls are around the site and the condition of the site. All of those conditions can be precursors to an accident. And we've all received, so the incident that Tracy talked about, the two members of our team struck by the speed board, how many times do we think somebody may have spotted that speed board in a 6 foot but walked on by? Or spotted something, a hazard or a condition, but walked on by. Or may have reported it, but we're still waiting for it to be cleared. So all of the activities is all aimed at our end goal, which is ultimately to reduce harm to our team. So everything is linked. And many of you would have heard us talk about the Baird's Triangle. So we talk about a close call target, but the target is linked to the Baird's Triangle. So the target, so the number of close calls are linked to a number of accidents that we're having on our route. And we know if you have X number of accidents, you should see an X number of precursor incidents, which is our close calls. If you reduce those precursor incidents, our close calls, we should, in theory, reduce the number of people being harmed. And I think it's important to recognize how all of this is linked together. Because everything has an impact on our end goal, and it's just trying to work through together to try and get to the precursors before they result in harm. Any more questions?
There are no further questions at the moment.
Brilliant. So I'm going to now talk onto the next section, which is to really talk about a couple of the initiatives that we have ongoing at the moment. And you'll see on the blog, you'll see a couple of presentations, one that says keep a clear head and the other that says VTS implementation, which is vehicle tracking system implementation. So what I'm going to do first is talk about the clear head initiative. So when we talk about safety, and I know Tracy is very much about workforce safety. That's her baby and that's her focus. But we also need to remember, as a route, we have a responsibility to protect our passengers, and we also have a responsibility to protect the members of the public, including those that may be trespassing on our network. And a couple of weeks ago, we launched, and this is a national campaign, a Keep a Clear Head initiative. And the initiative really was aimed twofold. The first is aimed at managing the risk to members of public, but also it's managing the unintended consequence to our workforce. So where we have members of public, say for example under the influence of alcohol, we know that has a 25% increase in the number of assaults or violent offences committed to our teams, so our frontline teams. Primarily it's around our station team or our BTP officers, but we know that the numbers increase. And certainly in December is our highest time for when we have alcohol-related incidents and also alcohol-related incidents, which then mean an unintended consequence to the members of our team. So the campaign focuses on three key areas. The first is around level crossing misuse and trespass. The second is around trips and falls on stations. And then the third is around public order violence and personal safety. And this is a joint effort with the BTP and the train operators. So I guess the question really is, what can we do? So these are some key messages that are going out to members of public. So what can we do to manage and mitigate against these risks? And there's a number of things we can do. So if we take the first example of level crossing misuse and trespass, one of the incidents that's fronting the campaign is an incident that happened on our route. So last year in Patton, a member of public, and his name was Christos Santos, and you'll be able to see all of this on the presentation. He trespassed on our line, but he had no understanding or appreciation that the line itself was electrified. And what happened was, unfortunately, he fell whilst trespassing, and this is after a normal night out. He was trying to take a shortcut home. He fell and he landed on the electrified line. His friends tried to take him off, but failed, and they themselves received minor shocks. And Chris himself has become a real advocate for us and working with Network Rail to tell his story and talk about the dangers of trespassing. Chris has suffered severe burns. He's been in and out of hospital over the last year. And at one point, he thought his leg would be amputated. But Chris is a surviving story. The other story that is fronting the campaign is the story of Tommy. Tommy crossed a level crossing whilst the barriers were down. And he crossed the level crossing, which was about 5 minutes from his home. And his friends had already crossed. And there were two pubs across the barriers. And this is an incident in the South East route in Shoreham. He did wait a few minutes. And then he crossed the barriers knowing he shouldn't do. And unfortunately, he tragically lost his life. Tommy was 20 years old. At the time, and his mom, Jeanette Compton, is again a real advocate of promoting the message of level crossing safety and working closely with us to talk about her story and talk about the impact it has on her and her family. And so we talk about, so these are members of public, what can we do to support? What can we do as a route to prevent these from happening? And there's a number of things that we can see or we can spot and report and to try to prevent trespass and level crossing misuse. One of the things that our signalers do, which we can all do, is report level crossing misuse. And really, if we can understand misuse events, that could help us to target BTP efforts. So we have a BTP van that goes out across the route, really targeting hotspot areas. Trespass. Whilst out on track or whilst even on a train, you may spot. Do we spot any holes in fencing? Do we spot any vulnerable areas? Do you know of shortcuts that people may be taking? And again, do we need to address those? And do we need to work locally? There's other things that you and your team could help also, which is going out to the community. So we spend a lot of time in local schools, local universities, local organisations, talking about the dangers of the railway. And again, you and your teams can help and support with that. We have a single community safety officer on the route, Lindsay, and she does her best to try and go to as many school visits as possible. But she's always looking for help. She's always looking for support. And to have your team support her can help us managing level crossing and trespass misuse. How else could you help? Even with station trips and falls or station incidents, many of you may travel through stations. Many of you live on our patch. So is there anything on a station that you think actually that could be a hazard or that's a risk? And how many times have you reported it? How many have you raised it as a close call? Being part of the Reshaped Alliance, Southwest Trains are also part of the close call system. So we work closely with the safety team in Southwest Trains and help to manage and identify station close calls. So there's a number of things we can do to help and support in managing public safety, and so it's just having a look at what you and your team can do, particularly when out and about on the route. So the key messages with keeping a clear head, it is themed around an alcohol, but it's also themed around having fun over the festive season. It's not about telling people what they can and can't do, but it's about asking people to be responsible. And it's also the key for us is about making sure that we get everyone to their destination safely, and that includes other passengers and members of public. And it's also about not making other people's journeys distressing either. So have a read through the Keep a Clear Head campaign. You may have noticed it in stations. There's screens, updates out. There's lots of collateral that's going out as part of that as well. So that's one of the campaigns that's running all throughout December. So that's Keep a Clear Head. The other initiative I wanted to just quickly talk through was the vehicle tracking system. So the vehicle tracking system is an opportunity for us to manage road risk. So Tracy just a few minutes ago talked about a vehicle incident we had this period, and that was at low speed. However, it still resulted in significant injury to the individual, which has meant that they cannot continue immediately with work. And with road safety, we know that over the last 12 years, majority of our fatalities have been as a result of being on the road. And so what can we do to reduce the risk of road, and particularly around speeding? So one of the things that we are rolling out is vehicle tracking system. And the primary reason for the vehicle tracking system is not to, despite its name, it's not to track where people are, but it's to provide live data to the vehicle driver. And it's to then enable the driver to receive feedback, and in the blog you'll see some pictures of the system, receive feedback and then to support them to drive safely and within the speed limit at the location that they are. So Wessex route, we are going to be doing the user testing, and so those of your teams that are involved with the user testing, it's really important that you give us some really honest feedback and talk through how it's working for you. And also we will be engaging with all of our TU health and safety reps as well to really make sure that we are getting the most from this system. And that starts, fitment starts this week, but nationally the fitment will continue until March next year as we go through and upgrade all of our vehicles. So it was just really just to let you know it's coming a place near you, and the aim is to try and get all of our vehicles fitted with it. But at the moment, whilst we go through user testing, it's really, please, if your teams are involved with the user testing, please give us really open, honest feedback on how you're getting on with it, because that will then allow us to make any improvements, any adjustments before it's rolled out across the country. So that's it really, I just wanted to give a summary of those two projects that are being launched currently, and some of it won't be familiar to some, but to others it may have been, so it's just a useful opportunity to talk it through. Do you have any questions?
Just to remind you, to ask a question, key star 1, record your name and press a hash key. We have a question from the line of
Mark Wilson.
Please go ahead.
Hi, Mark.
Hi, Pretty. How are you?
Yeah, good. I'm glad you've got a question. Like, as Tracy said, it gets lonely at the end of a phone.
Question and an observation.
Mm-hmm.
Level crossings.
Yes.
In my time, I have attended hundreds of level crossing incursions, trespass, etc., etc.
Mm-hmm.
And the blame is always put on us as a company.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that is totally and utterly unfair.
Yeah.
I've advocated for many years, and I've also recommended that we put in static CCTV cameras that roll in conjunction with the crossing coming down, because our current CCTV cameras look down and are on a benefit to the signaller.
Yes.
And we don't get registration numbers, and it seems we don't get that many prosecutions. I was at Bramley 3 weeks ago and the mobile CCTV was there.
Yeah.
And not one person crossed that crossing.
Yeah.
But the week later on a fault, I had 5 people went over on red lights.
Yeah. And it's an interesting point, Mark, because it's at what point do we take responsibility as an organisation to protect those that use and interface with our infrastructure, and at what point is it then handed over to personal responsibility? And I tend to agree with you. Sometimes those lines are blurred, and it's almost that as an organisation we have to compensate for individuals not taking personal responsibility, and it's a difficult one. And as I said, it's a thin line, and it's about what have we done a lot. So all that is reasonably practicable, have we done everything possible as a business? And effectively, that's what safety is. So safety is reducing the risk to as low as practicably. And if we can demonstrate that we have, then we need to think about, right, then individuals need to take personal responsibility. I certainly think with the CCTV footage, we have some good news on that. We've started to introduce red light cameras. So we've introduced it at White Hart Lane, and we've started to see prosecutions and a marked improvement, because it only takes a few people to start to get tickets and that message gets round. And we have authority to introduce that 5 more sites. And of course, that's nowhere not enough. I'd like to do something at all 300 of our level crossings, but it's a start, and the level crossing team have just submitted their hot spot locations to get the 5 more sites introduced with the cameras, and we're just trialling, Wessex will be the first route with the BTP to put signs up to prosecute pedestrians. So historically we would prosecute road users and breaching the red light, but we are working with the BTP to prosecute pedestrians for breaching byway laws. And again, the BTP have identified some sites with those, so we can start trialling those. So we are moving forward, Mark. It's difficult, probably not as quickly as I would like, but again, we're starting to say actually, as individuals, they need to take responsibility as well.
But it is up to the individual to take responsibility. We shouldn't be to blame, and we shouldn't be have fingers pointed at us because they happen to die on a level crossing.
Yeah, and I don't think we do get blamed. Certainly, we do investigate, and it doesn't feel. I don't think that is the case. I think what we do need to demonstrate, however, and we can't dissolve that responsibility, is to demonstrate we've done all we can. We need to be able to demonstrate we're out a lot. That is we're out a lot, and that's based on cost and benefit. So it's not doing everything that the technology allows us to do it, but it's based on a CBA. If we can demonstrate that, then we have done as much as we can. So, it may feel sometimes we get negative press, but the ORR particularly work really closely with us, and when we do have incidents, it doesn't at the moment feel that we are being blamed. It's more a case of, right, let's investigate to find out what's happened and what can we do to make things safer. Does that help by way of background?
Yeah, it does. It is what it is, isn't it, pretty?
Yeah, please don't feel that you are being blamed, Mark. You're certainly not. It's just about we just need to investigate.
It's not just the blame as well, but it's the lost time we have. The moms have to attend, my daughters have to attend.
I know.
We shouldn't just be looking at prosecutions, we should be looking at hammering these people for their insurances as well, for paying for our stuff.
Yeah, and getting the claims through. No, it's a fair point, because time lost investigation, and we all know how long a level one investigation can take, and then, of course, if it goes to a level two or a level three investigation, I don't have all the answers, Mark, I'm afraid, but we are working closely with the BTP and the ORR to support us with ensuring that people are starting to take personal responsibility.
Thank you for your question. We have no further questions at the moment.
Right. So the final part is really to have an open discussion. So really talk about how Safety Hour is working for you and your teams, and whether there's any good tips out there, good processes that you may have that you'd like to share with the group. So it's an opportunity for Tracy and I to have a break, really. Can we open up the lines up to the floor, please, to see whether anyone would like to share their Safety Hour experiences?
Yes, we'll do that for you. We'll unmute the lines now. Thank you.
So, who would like to start?
Well, you're the one.
Yes, the lines are unmuted now. You're free to talk.
Keith?
Hello?
Can you hear me, Keith? It's Tracy.
Yes, I can hear you.
How many lines are there?
We have 39 at the moment, but there are 27 live currently.
And all the lines are unmuted, guys, so we can...
They're all unmuted, yes.
So I've got all those people without an opinion.
What sort of opinion do you want?
I don't mind. As long as there's a discussion, bring it on.
The best way, right, I'll start it off. somebody else kicking after me. Best safety hour I've been on was 2 weeks ago when that guy came on and talked to us about it.
We got that feedback from several sources, Mark, and I agree. And we've got some more in the pipeline.
Yeah, Mark, I totally agree as well. What we'd like to aim for is at least have a guest speaker once a month. And if we can do more, then we should have more. But that was a really powerful safety hour, and we want to get some more of those for the new year.
Yeah, it was relevant to me because I had a scare about 2 months ago. I had throat cancer and went and saw the doctor. And it was quite powerful. And yeah, I'd had sore throat for about 8 weeks, 10 weeks, and not done anything about it.
Yeah. And interestingly, Mark, one of the things I found really powerful was after the safety hour, because I had quite a few people female and talk about their experience after, and the kind of discussion that was really helpful.
Yeah, I just thought it was brilliant, absolutely brilliant.
Good, thank you. Any other feedback on safety hour, or what we can do, what's working well for you and your team?
I want Tracy to adopt me.
I've adopted 1,200 of you.
Another minute or so. I don't mind the silence. Okay, so the discussion section didn't work quite as planned. Thank you for the feedback, Mark, regarding the guest speaker. I think I agree, you're completely right with that. But of course, guys, if there is anything that you'd like to share, or you think really works well for you and your teams, or you think we need to improve, please feedback to Tracy and I. The safety hour is designed to help you and your team. So we really want it to work. We really want you guys to have powerful discussions on a weekly basis and talk about things that really matter to you and your teams. So your feedback is greatly appreciated, and it will be used to help to improve the process. But I am mindful it's not ideal if you don't want to talk in an open forum or you don't want to talk on the call. Feel free to just drop Tracy and I an email or give us a call. Your feedback would be greatly appreciated. So if there's nothing else in that case, then I'm happy to end today's safety hour. Thank you all.
Thank you, Prissy. Ladies and gentlemen, that concludes your conference call for today. You may now disconnect. Thank you for joining, and have a very good day.